Let us pray before we dig in. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, last week as I preached on Father's Day about the things that many fathers are not doing that they should be doing, and many things they are doing that they shouldn't be, you really laid it on my heart, Lord, that we owe so much more to our children than we are providing them with. In many cases, we're giving them every material thing under the sun, but we are not helping them to develop godly character. Father, we confess this sin to you. We humble ourselves as we come into your presence, and we ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to be better men and women. Help us to be better husbands and wives. Help us to be better mothers and fathers and raise our children according to your will. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we are actually going to begin a two-part series of messages that are entitled Archers and Arrows. And as we begin, if you have not already closed your Bible, you're in good shape. But if you have closed it up, I want to ask you to reopen it to Psalm 127. And if you did not bring a Bible today, we do have some Bibles in the pews, and they are King James Version, which I will be preaching from today. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning that you probably already know. And if you don't, you obviously have not been paying attention. Our enemy, the devil, has unleashed an all-out war against the family, against traditional biblical family values. We have people today who get shot and killed while they're attending Bible study. Apparently, smart money today says that the cause of these deaths in this church, and in fact all of the racism in America, is caused by the paint job on the Duke boys' beloved General Lee. That's a Confederate flag reference. If you haven't been watching the news, you won't get that. Our own Supreme Court has recently reached a decision that has utterly redefined marriage as we know it. I'm not going to harp a whole lot on that today. Folks, this nation is in trouble. The devil is beating us down. And if you don't believe that there's a war on the family today, if you think I'm overreacting, if you think I'm yet another conservative Bible-thumping nut job who is bitterly clinging to my religion and guns, well, you may be right. But then again, maybe God actually meant what he said. Let me share a quote with you from a lady you may have heard of. Some of you more mature folks in the congregation have heard of her, I'm sure. Her name is Gloria Steinem. Do you know who she is? Young folks, let me tell you something. This lady is a former Playboy bunny from decades past. She has had a rather illustrious career as a radical feminist leader. Even today, at the age of 80 or 81, she has quite a following. You know what she thinks about marriage and the family? This is a quote from her. "Marriage has existed for the benefit of men and is a legalized, sanctioned control of women. The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women." What she's saying here is we need to do away with marriage altogether. She goes on to say, "It is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands. We must destroy marriage. The nuclear family must be replaced with a new form of family where individuals live together to meet the needs of all people. There must also come a new way of looking at children. Children must be seen as the responsibility of the entire society rather than just the responsibility of the parents." You know what that is? That's just another way of repeating the false claim that it takes a village to raise a child. It's just another way of saying that marriage and the family are obsolete. Now, folks, look, I'm not telling you anything in here that's going to surprise you. These type of attacks are obvious. They're dangerous, but they're easy to spot because they're right in our face. They come at us head on. Other attacks against the family, other attacks against traditional marriage, they're not as easy to see because they're more subtle. Last week I mentioned that many times on things that you watch on TV today, the dad especially is portrayed in a negative light. Folks, this is especially true in the sitcoms that you see today. Very rarely will you see a show where there's a regular family in it anymore that's normal. If a family has actually a mom and a dad, the parents are kind of viewed as these dinosaur-type people whose values and morals are way outdated. The dad is specifically usually portrayed as some kind of a clueless idiot who has no idea what's going on. And if we're talking about a serious film and not a comedy, many times the dad is seen as cruel and vindictive and overbearing. And if the thing you're watching on TV has a dad who is a religious man, oh, watch out, baby. Because this guy, pretty much I can guarantee you, he's going to be portrayed as overly strict, as mean-spirited, emotionally unstable, and more than likely physically abusive. This is how dads are portrayed today. Now, there are others who are not against family values. They would love nothing more than to just have a normal family. But they don't know how to do it because they have never learned or experienced God's plan. Let me give you an example of that. J. Paul Getty, in his day, was one of the richest men on the face of the earth. Back when $1 billion, that's a billion with a B, back when $1 billion was worth a lot more than it is today, J. Paul Getty had an estimated worth of more than $4 billion. Now, if you have that kind of money even today, people would say, you're loaded. They would say, you are successful. But let me tell you what Mr. Getty said in his own autobiography. This man, this billionaire, said, I have never been given to envy, except for the envy I feel toward those people who have the ability to make a marriage work and endure happily. It's an art I have never been able to master. My record? 5 marriages. 5 divorces. In short, 5 failures. In his autobiography, he goes on to talk about his relationship with his 5 sons. He describes that relationship as painful. And much of that pain was passed on to his children along with that money, friends. The son that was his most beloved, young Timothy, who was actually born when J. Paul Getty was 53, that son died in 1958 at the age of 12 due to complications from surgery after living a very sickly life, mostly separated from his dad, who was forever away on business. Similar sorrow has followed almost every single member of that unfortunate family. Think about this for a minute. There are times when many of us sit around thinking, if we just had a few more bucks, life would be so much better. If we could just pay off that car or that credit card or just get a bigger house or finally trade up to that Lexus, things would be so much better. Here's a man that, according to the world, had it all. He was considered a success in every way. Yet he refers to himself is an abject failure in the things that mattered the most. Now, I use these illustrations this morning to show you the devil has done a real good job of attacking and ruining many families in America. In this equation, it is impossible for me to overestimate the importance of a dad in the family. Christian musicians, Phillips Craig and Dean, they have a song that they wrote a while back. It's a dad, and it's told as the perspective as he looks at his son. And he's talking to God, the dad is, and he says, God, help me to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. We need to remember that. These kids are looking at us. They're going to imitate what they see. You can tell them whatever you want. They're going to do what you do. Help us to be like God because they want to be like us. Now let's take a look at Psalm 127 and see what the Word of God has to say about all this. Look at verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. They labor in vain. J. Paul Getty, the guy was a billionaire, and he said, I have never been able to master that art. Do you know why? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. This guy didn't know the Lord. It's impossible for him to build the kind of family that he wanted to build without God. The psalm goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to stay up late and eat the bread of sorrows. $4 billion, and J. Paul Getty ate the bread of sorrows, folks. He was familiar with that particular meal. These verses go on to say, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, we're getting to the deepest part of this. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You understand what Solomon's saying here? Children are like arrows, and dads are like archers. They're like mighty warriors. These kids are like arrows in our hands, guys. Now, with that as a background, I'm going to talk to you this morning about dads who shoot straight and kids who hit the mark. There are three points that we're going to be looking at over the next 2 weeks, and here's the first one. If you want to have a successful family and you want to raise good and godly kids, number one, the archer must be strong. Look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. It's been about a dozen years ago. Somebody gave me an old bow. I was familiar with gun hunting. My dad taught me to shoot, but I was really never exposed too much to archery or shooting bows. And as I began to practice with this old bow, I learned a couple of things right away. Number one, it's not as easy as it looks. There are guys today who spend $1,000 on a bow. They've got lasers and rangefinders and all kinds of stuff hanging off of here. That's fine and dandy, folks, but that ain't what makes you a successful archer, because you can have the most expensive equipment out there. If you don't have good form, if you don't have a smooth draw, a consistent anchor point, a smooth release and good follow-through, your arrows are not going to hit where you want them to hit. They won't do it. If you want to be a successful archer, it takes determination and lots of practice. The same holds true for being a good dad. It's a difficult thing to be a good man. It's a far more difficult thing to be a good husband. But the most difficult thing a man will ever do is be a good father. That is the most difficult thing. See, when the arrow misses its mark, there might be many reasons for that. First of all, there may be some bad arrows. Now, with today's modern equipment, these arrows are made out of carbon. They don't get bent, they don't get warped, but if you shoot traditional archery, you're using a long bow and wooden arrows. Sometimes the arrows are bad. You just get a bad one. The arrow won't fly straight no matter what you do. It's warped. It's bad. Other times, when you're out there shooting, a strong crosswind can blow your arrow off course. Your target might move on you, and hitting a moving target's extremely difficult. Now, none of these things diminish the archer's responsibility. It actually increases his responsibility to shoot his arrows with great skill. Solomon is telling us, guys, we have been given these children, and they are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So what does all this have to do with my responsibility as a dad? Well, my responsibility is to shape, to sharpen, and to shoot my arrows at the bullseye. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know what my goal is, folks? My ultimate goal? You may say, well, to be a good pastor. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good preacher. But far more important to me is to be a good dad. If I'm ever put in a position where I had to choose between my family and being a pastor, I'm going to choose my family. It doesn't mean I don't love the church. It doesn't mean I don't love you. But if I'm loving my family and I'm putting them before what I do here, I'm actually going to be a better pastor. The scriptures agree with this. 1 Timothy 3:5 says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" See, if something happens to me, you guys can always get a new preacher. My kids only have one dad, and so do yours. Once again, the first point here is the archer must be strong. Verse 4, one more time, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. The archer's got to be strong. Now, that don't mean just physical strength. Because if it did, hey, not everybody's going to qualify. What Solomon's talking about here is spiritual strength. And if we will submit ourselves fully to the will of God, then all of us can qualify. Now let me give you the second point. Not only must the archer be strong, but the arrows must be straight. The arrows must be straight. And folks, hear me now. Children are not born as straight arrows. Sticks and twigs are not straight arrows. Kids are not born real straight. They have to be made straight. These crooked little twigs, they have to be shaped and they have to be sharpened if they're going to become straight arrows. Because as I've already explained to you, a crooked arrow doesn't fly straight. It's not going to hit the target. So what exactly is your job as a dad? I've already told you. It's to shape, sharpen, and shoot your arrows. God's put them in your hand. Now, this is among the most difficult tasks that a dad will ever do. This is the reason that there are so many deadbeat and dropout dads. We hear a lot today about how bad the youth is and how bad these kids are and how they get into trouble all the time and there's no respect anymore. Why do you think that is? The problem primarily in our society is not juvenile delinquency. It's dads who are delinquent. Dads who are not teaching their kids what they should be teaching them. Why do you think the kids don't have any values? Because they're not being taught any. Now, if you're taking notes, let me give you a couple Bible verses to write down. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, the word nurture literally means a discipline, okay? And the word admonition means teaching. We are to bring our children up in the discipline and the teaching of the Lord. Put this verse down, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Do you know what one of the prime characteristics of a good father is? It's if his kids are spiritually sharp and emotionally straight. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money you make or the material things you can give them. The measure of a good dad is whether or not his children are spiritually sharp and emotionally straight. An arrow's got to be sharp and it's got to be straight. Psalm 127, verse 4. One more time. Look at this. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. There is a time, dads, when these arrows are in your hand. And that's when you've got to shape them. That's when you've got to mold them. Because there will come a day when these arrows are out of your control. They are no longer in your hand. They're out there in flight. And once that happens, you can't get them back. They're gone. So many of us today have turned our back on that responsibility, and we have passed that responsibility on to so-called professionals. Let them teach my kids what they're supposed to know. Now, as I was doing some research for this message, I ran across something that caught my eye, and as I read these words that this person wrote, I thought, you know what, I got to talk about this today. And I hope that as I read this, it affects you the same way it did me. I hope it sends up the same kind of red flags in your mind that it sent into mine, because there's a whole lot of this going on today. People giving their responsibility to others to raise their kids. Listen, no longer does he need to sit in your big easy chair and have you read him Jack and the Beanstalk. Because today he has a professional storyteller called a television. You can go to the office and work more hours. And with that extra money, you can buy your children a bigger television. It does not doze off and it does not become impatient. You can now put your child in the hands of a professional educator. From 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., 5 days a week, he can tell your child about the birds and the bees, and your child will get his sex education there. You will have time to accumulate more things. You can put in a few more hours and pay a professional to mow your lawn and pay someone else to wash your car. You can spend more time on the golf course. By working more hours and making more money, you can even provide your child with a swimming pool at home or at the club. And when he gets into high school, you will be able to afford a professional guidance counselor who will give your child ideas about what he should do with his future. Your extra money will pay for that. A professional can teach him how to drive. And with your extra money, you can buy him a new car. And there will be no need to get your hands greasy side by side while you teach him how to change oil and spark plugs. He will never have to learn discipline and responsibility. Now, everything in us tells us that's wrong, doesn't it? Kids need dads, and there is no way you can pay somebody else to do what God has told you to do. Your arrow's got to be straight. Now, how do we shape and sharpen them? Man, I'm glad you asked that question, because I got a few ways you can do it. Number one, you have to begin early. This is why Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. See, little children, they can be shaped and they can be molded very easily. Why is that? It's because they're flexible. They're moldable when they're young. Number one, their curiosity factor is at an all-time high. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Does that sound familiar? When them kids are asking you why, that's a teaching opportunity. Take advantage of it. They won't always ask you that. Another reason kids can be shaped very easily is because their memory factor is so high. Don't tell me little kids can't remember things. By the time they're two, they've learned an entire foreign language. Think about it. Another reason kids can be molded and shaped is because their trust factor is at its highest point that it will ever be. Little children naturally trust what you tell them as being true. This is exactly the reason Jesus says in Matthew 18:3, except ye become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Another thing about kids is their humility factor is at an all-time high. Kids aren't too proud to learn. They're not too proud to learn. They can take advice and they have an innate ability, a built-in ability to believe. These are all reasons why, man, you got to begin early if you want to shape and sharpen your kids. See, tomorrow, the kid's not going to ask you why. The kid's not going to ask for help with his homework. He'll be gone. If you want your arrows to be sharp, begin early. And number two, be creative. When God told the Jewish people how to train up their children, way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, listen to what God said. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The idea here is, be creative. No matter what you're doing in your daily routine, you can use that as an opportunity to teach your kids biblical principles, to instill good values in them. It should happen naturally. Look, teaching your kids about God, it shouldn't be like holding their nose and shoving castor oil down their throat or some other kind of nasty taste in medicine. This should flow out of you naturally as you're, you know, at the store with them, or as you're sitting at home with them, or as you're walking with them. That's what the Word of God says. Now, the third thing you've got to do if you want to shape and sharpen these little arrows, folks, you've got to build character. And you got to work to build character. You know what most dads work on with their kids? Sports. Maybe grades. Popularity. But not character. Somebody may say, well, what's character? First of all, it's integrity, but it's many more things. I'm going to quickly list some words that describe what it means to have character. And as I read these words to you, I want you to ask yourself, really ask yourself, who is teaching these things to my sons and my daughters? Here they come. Contentment. Courage, courtesy, discernment, fairness, friendliness, generosity, gentleness, helpfulness, honesty, humility, kindness, obedience, orderliness, patience, persistence, self-control, thankfulness. Hey, there's a big one. Wisdom and zeal. Where do you think your kids are going to learn these things? You think they're going to learn them in school? No. Dads, moms, You have to be the ones to build character in your children. When you compliment your kids, and you should, don't just compliment them when they get good grades. Don't just compliment them when they hit a home run. Compliment them when you see displaying some character. When you see them displaying any of these attributes, let them know how important that is. Now, when we come back next week, we're going to pick it up right here. We're going to continue talking about archers and arrows. We're going to go through a few more things, and hopefully we'll come away from here being a little better prepared to do what God has called us to do. But listen, as we close, if you're here today and you're saying to yourself, I am not the father God wants me to be. Maybe you're even saying, I'm not even the man I want to be. That can start to change today. Right where you're sitting right now, you can silently talk to God. You can confess your shortcomings to Him, and you can ask Him for help. Matter of fact, if you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not have 100% assurance about your eternal life, you can get that settled today as well. All you have to do is believe by faith Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that because 3 days later He rose from the dead, God will also raise you up. If that's something you need to do, I want to ask everybody to please bow your heads, close your eyes. If you need to pray this prayer, pray with me right now, won't you? Dear God, I know I have not been the person that You want me to be. The truth is, Lord, I have failed. I have failed You. I know I'm a sinner with no hope of heaven without You. But I believe Your Son, Jesus, died on a cross to pay for my sins. I believe He rose again from the dead and is seated even now at Your right hand. I ask Jesus to forgive me and to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I will never be ashamed of You. I will live the rest of my life in service to You. Help me to be the person that You would have me to be. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you please bow for the benediction? Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.